You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. You know, your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
Welcome back, Bison fans, to another episode of Bison Report Radio Podcast. I am the host of the show and the publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow, and joining me at the home studio, a little bit more comfortable this time as we've achieved some new technology, is Blake the intern. Blake, how are you?
Yeah, man, this is awesome. I love this.
For sure.
It's been a great week.
Little inside baseball, the home studio was basically like a closet. If you ever see my YouTube videos, talking 95% of the time about the Packers, it's a straight-on camera at me. I'm sitting in a chair, and it's not a very big room. And we've been using that as a studio as we close up the Bison Report Studios in beautiful Horace was the official name. But obviously still bringing phenomenal content to you guys, brought to you this week, as it has been all football season long, by Gateway Chevrolet. They beat them.
Again.
If you've been living under a rock, North Dakota State waffle stomps South Dakota State 38-7, bringing the marker streak to 2, bringing the overall streak to 3, and winning on the road in the series for the first time since College Game Day. Adam Cofield, 88 and out the gate, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, let's dive into the news because we're going to break that game down. I promise you. That is going to be a part of this show usually, especially on a show that would come out on a Friday. We might not spend so much time on the previous week's game. I want to spend time on the previous week's game. Hoops. We have a almost exactly 30-minute interview between myself and Dave Richmond, the 10th one of those that I have done somehow. Should be coming up soon. We'll drop the video, then probably later drop the audio on this feed. That would be my guess. We like people to watch the videos when we make them, but yeah, it should be on the audio feed probably 2 or 3 days after we get the video back from our wonderful editor. Beat MSUM by a bunch. They start the regular season Monday night at Oregon State. They have not played Oregon State before. Hopefully Oregon State's basketball team is as good as their football team. That was a stray, but
I meant left field there.
Then they go to UC Davis on Wednesday. And they've got one of their two big pay games. They're going to play at Drake, going to play obviously Coach Eric Henderson and the group that he has put together in Iowa. Oregon State has 10 international players and 6 guys that are 6'10" or taller. That'll be interesting because the Bison have 2 guys that are 6'9" or taller, and they almost never play at the same time.
I don't think they do ever.
I would guess that they will not. And so that will be a really fun one to watch. Oregon State's been picked 5th out of 12 in the West Coast Conference. Davis 6th of 11 in the Big West. So, you know, you'd assume they're underdogs at Oregon State. You would think it's probably pretty even out at Davis. I don't know. I think they won the game last year in Fargo. I think.
They didn't play Davis last year, I don't believe. I think that was 2 years ago.
2 years ago? I can't keep track of all the home and homes with these West Coast teams. Because they've got UCSB at home, or not SB?
Bakersfield is in California. Yeah.
Okay.
But they have
okay.
Northridge at home.
Northridge at home. It's too many CSU hyphen
yes.
things going on. And then we would certainly, like you to check out the Trayvon Carson GoFundMe.
Absolutely.
It's all over. We'll link to it from Bison Report Social if we haven't yet. But just read about that situation. It sounds terrible. She had a stroke. You know, what the Green and Gold Fund does for these athletes is not like covering those kind of expenses, right? But, you know, if you think, oh, guys in the men's basketball team are getting paid, it's not like that.
Right.
And there's, you know, kind of some help needed for one of our own here. Breaking news. I mean, this is a podcast. You guys will get it when you get it. But breaking news. Denver headed to the West Coast Conference next year, which means the Summit League is down to 8 teams. You mentioned St. Thomas here. I mean, St. Thomas wants to go to the Big East.
It's a matter of time, I think. But
okay.
We'll see.
The Big East would have to want that. I mean, I've talked to, like, Creighton people, and Creighton people kind of thumb their – or, like, look down their nose at it. But it's like, if you have a private Catholic university with oodles and oodles of money in Minneapolis – what is the difference between having a private Catholic university with oodles and oodles of money in
sure.
Omaha?
Sure.
That's an awesome market for the Big East to get into, TV market-wise. I don't know. That's just my opinion. Plus, get them out of the league. I have no interest in going against a Minneapolis-based Catholic school with oodles and oodles of money in the NIL era, actually. I'm not interested in that, especially when, you know, North Dakota State's focus is football. That you're not going to be able to... Well, that's a conversation for a different day. Doesn't matter. Another FBS job has opened. Brian Kelly... you're just taking shots in this script that I'm not going to repeat. 54 million dollar buyout. Three of the four largest buyouts in history have been in the last month. Carson Wentz out for the season, dislocated shoulder, torn labrum, broken socket. McCarthy was the emergency QB. I thought it was hilarious when, was it Justin Jefferson went out of bounds and McCarthy jumped up like a ninja? And gave the first down sign, looking like the healthiest guy in the stadium.
Yeah.
I don't think McCarthy got what people keep talking about as like soft benched. I also really enjoy this Minnesota Gopher fan fiction that Brosmer is not being played because he's so good that it would make the McCarthy pick look bad. That's my favorite fan fiction that's going on right now.
That's about as homerism as you get right there.
I mean, guys, he played against FedEx drivers, and I mean, I just can't with you right now. Like, it doesn't matter. You know, future State Farm agents out there, and I just, goodness gracious me, Max Brosmer. Injuries. Duty is probable. Mekhi unlikely. Altapeter more than likely out for the season. Sounds like an ACL. Alex Elliott, though, could replace him. Finn Diggins potentially returning for senior day. Will Stiles going to miss 2 to 3 weeks with a hamstring, and Jalen Crumby might miss 1 to 2 weeks with an MCL. You wrote Ray James question mark. Enlighten me.
Well, so he didn't play last week, and I've heard that I've just heard some things about his shoulder maybe, but we'll see about that. That might be a question for next Tuesday for Coach P. Again, I've heard it could be a season deal. That is not confirmed by any means. So again, that's something to ask him maybe next week. But they're getting thin at linebacker a little bit as far as depth. Their starters are doing A-okay. But yeah, I mean, that's your what? Backup Will, backup Sam, another backup Sam. So you're getting a little thin in the 2-deep there, but. But yeah, that's all that is.
Yeah, and the guy that I mentioned too is like, how many positions, because I really like Peter Halgo. How many positions can Peter Halgo back up, right? How many, if you're going to lose an ult to Peter, you're, like, Peter Halgo is going to have to be there kind of across what you're doing. Otherwise, Lucht is, is there. But I think he's kind of in that, I don't know how much foot speed is there in the sense that he's an inside-only guy. Right, and I'm not saying he's slow. I just mean like he's a Mike's Mike. You want Oliver Lucht in a phone booth, I think.
Right. The other guy he did mention, who's to me, this looks like a different type of linebacker, is Gavin Sell, the true freshman.
Sure.
That's where they're at right now. Like, and he could be great, but like.
Well, I think that was one talk too, or one talking point coming into this season was the DeVries kid, Sell. Just dudes at linebacker that were, you know, could play right away, but then it just happened that Halgo got position moved and Alta Peter really plays well and Alex Elliott transfers in. Well, now these linebackers that could splash as true freshmen have been preserved. Maybe not all year. And that happens.
Yep.
That happens. Linebacker is a spot where it can happen, especially if you already come to campus and you're 225 or... you know, more. Okay. South Dakota State recap. The Rock stays in Fargo.
You want to read that out loud or?
Whatever. This is a podcast. Belt to ass. I agree. It was. Correct. Belt to ass. The largest win over South Dakota State since 1992. The largest win in Brookings since 1991. That is the year that my 34-year-old sister was born. Start to finish. And, yeah, literally as Nathan Hayes yeeted a guy going out of bounds. I can't believe Nathan Hayes played in this football game. I mean, I guess, so, like, I picked the Bison to win the game by 8. And then if you listen to the Bison Report show on Bison 1660, which you should all do, kicks off 6 hours of pregame coverage each and every week, you'd know that I... when it came out that it was going to be Luke Marble, I went to Bison by 2 touchdowns. So from 8 to 14. That was not enough.
No.
But I just never even, obviously, at calling the game a 2-touchdown, which, by the way, predicting a 2-touchdown win in Brookings is a little bit insane. On its surface. And it wasn't even close, and the backup quarterback got in, which is crazy. 80,000 viewers on ESPNU. I think that's a little bit disappointing. I'd be interested to see the streaming numbers, I guess, in addition to that. You know, a lot of talk in the local media about, well, what if WDAY and Midco just had it? Again, I mean, I'd like to see, because we streamed it, like, you know, where I was watching, we streamed it. I'd like to know streaming plus... ESPNU numbers, but whatever. I'm not gonna get in an argument with local media about any of that. It's a boon to the program to just be able to say nationally televised, even if you know the viewership isn't there. You've got, you know, that graphic that comes out about how many times NDSU's played on the ESPN networks. I know that's a tool that they use in recruiting. I don't care enough about, like, yes, you would have liked more than 80,000 people to watch the game. I just don't care. The largest crowd in the history of Dana J. Dykhouse Stadium at 19,477. And it ends a 33-game home win streak, quite emphatically. Likely NDSU's last outdoor game until the national championship, which will be in Tennessee, hopefully with some decent weather. They won't leave the state of North Dakota until that time, potentially. We talked about this. I think even if they go up and lose in Grand Forks, it won't change.
Yeah, I just don't see a way in which they fall lower than the... You're right. I mean, you're 100% right. Like, the only way that happens is if they lose tomorrow, which has four touchdown favorites, it probably isn't going to happen.
I mean, the only way it really happens is if UND never loses and Tarleton never loses.
Yeah, and people are going to argue Montana if they go 12-0, but...
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I will be absolutely shocked I will not pierce my nipples like that radio host in Pittsburgh. But I will be absolutely shocked if a one loss. I'm pretty shocked if they go up to Grand Forks and lose. But I would be shocked if a one loss NDSU team is anything but the 2 seed or the 1 seed. I just historically that has not been a thing. So anyway, Cole Payton was that dude. 4 rushing touchdowns, 380 total yards. Barica, 12th rushing touchdown, is 4th in the FCS. Unbelievable throws to Raja and Bryce Lance. I think I was really impressed with Reese Kessel's work again. Asked him about him again in the press conference. Just some more of like showing a little bit of run after the catch ability. And what he was doing was awesome. But a lot of it was like catching a bomb and going out of bounds. Catching a bomb and falling to the ground. Catching a bomb, I'm already in the end zone. This was a little bit more of like, okay, I just caught an 8-yard slant. I'm going to break a tackle. I'm going to get 15 yards instead of 8. That stuff was cool. Bryce was unbelievable. Had, I think Jalen Lee is his name, absolutely in hell. Absolutely in hell.
Needed a map.
Bryce was, unguardable. And there were some unguardable throws. Like, I put one out on Twitter saying crying, screaming, throwing up. It was a back shoulder. And not only just the throw from Cole, which was A++, it was the reaction time, because that ball got on him quick and it was in traffic. And Bryce just sucked it up like a vacuum and then got smacked.
Yeah,
it was a NFL throw from Cole. It was an NFL catch from Bryce. And those two were just on a level that South Dakota State wasn't on.
Yeah, I mean, it was that throw made me think, and this might just be the Steelers guy in me, but like, you know, prime Big Ben AB, the back shoulder. It was like, what are you going to do about it? You know? And there's nothing he could do about it. And
did you enjoy the Packers-Steelers game on Sunday?
Did you enjoy the uniform matchup? I
did not. That made me so sad.
Those might be the worst. They might be worse than
the I wanted to have beautiful memories of that game with one of the best uniform matchups in the world. And what Pittsburgh did was such a crime. And honestly, credit to Green Bay for putting the white cheddar on, because if Green Bay had gone yellow, white, yellow.
Oh, man.
I just can't with what that game would have looked like.
Those were some of the, like, khaki pants, basically.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I did.
You know, the drive of the game was certainly the 16-play, 84-yard, 9-minute drive after the 3-and-out. NDSU scores on 3 straight drives and gets 3 straight 3-and-outs. And certainly ends, you know, everybody talking about their slow starts. Which, by the way, even like Cole Payton said, that was warranted. There's a reason to they were starting slow, so it's okay to point that out. But that was done. Defense was amazing. Offense was amazing. And by the time South Dakota State ran a couple of trick plays to make it 21-7, the game was over. And I guess, yeah. We'll get to it, because I kind of have a take that I want to get off my chest. It's not a massive one, or certainly not a hot one, but just revisionist now, I guess. 500 yards to 166. 5th game with 500-plus yards, 38 minutes time of possession. South Dakota State, just 43 yards on the ground. And I don't know if I think Dan Jackson's a very good coach. I don't know if I think Eidsness is a very good coach. I don't know. Obviously, you know, with Dan getting demoted at Vanderbilt by what we now see as a very good coach in Clark Lee, I just don't know. Lots to prove there. The times that they were trying to establish the run in that game were baffling. And I was tweeting about it. I was like, I cannot believe, as you have here, they're trying to establish it right now. I mean, it's like okay, fine, it's going to be 38-7. We don't want it to be 52-7. Like, that was the vibes that I were getting. Like, I could see Dan Jackson waving the white flag.
Well, I mean, they didn't run the ball well in the first half. They didn't. But like you said, it was obvious they weren't having any success through the air. I mean,
yeah.
When they have, I mean, they had 166, so that's what, 123 passing?
Yeah. And
20 of those were on a trick play?
Yeah.
So, like, that was the, I mean, the only thing people remember about the Dan Jackson from that game is him screaming at the officials about five different times. Because, I mean, okay, to be fair, the one was justified.
Right, yep.
But, again.
It was also a sell job.
Oh, incredible.
No, I'm not saying it wasn't a hold, but it was also a sell job.
Yes, both can be true.
Yep.
Yeah, that was crazy. I mean, Loughridge, this might be hot take, but maybe one of a little bit overrated because he's
Yeah, his offensive line were getting beat up pretty bad, but yeah.
I mean, he's had two really good games, and then the rest of it's just kind of, you know, par for the course. Okay, like, I don't know. And that whole line for them is back next year, other than Hagen, the Park River kid, the UND transfer, which again to me is a little bit funny. But yeah, there's just nothing going. And frankly, like, people are going to want to talk about, like, what changes if number seven is playing. And I'm not buying it.
The SDSU can't stop North Dakota State on defense, so I don't care about Chase Mason.
Yeah, it's irrelevant.
It is. It's absolutely irrelevant. The Bison aren't giving up 30 to Chase Mason. They aren't. I don't see how South Dakota State on a neutral field or at NDSU, which, by the way, the next game ain't going to be in Brookings. Watch that game and explain to me how NDSU is kept out of the 30s by South Dakota State in a future matchup. I don't see it. I made the COVID question. I mean, you know, they had some really good guys. I think two things happened that were very fortunate for South Dakota State. They were just under the radar in a way that NDSU was not, and somehow got buy-in that NDSU didn't when that first portal thing really started to happen. Not Jabril Cox, like the Exodus, the Courtney Eubanks, the Dom Jones, the like guys that you just, yep. Just the Exodus, that never, Tucker Kraft stays. The Yankee twins stay. Gronowski stays twice. You can go on and on and on about all those offensive linemen were better than multiple Power Five starters, and they all played at South Dakota State until they were 25. Like, it just, yep. You wonder what would have happened to South Dakota State football. Maybe they win a title. That 2023 team was really good. But if they lose guys to the portal like NDSU does, or more importantly, if COVID doesn't just ransack what would have been the 2020 Bison, and you get a normal second season out of Trey Lance, and you kind of continue on the path of, okay, well then maybe Cam Miller would have been more ready and sitting behind Trey for another year, and you never do the Zeb Noland of it all, and the Quincy Patterson of it all, and all those things. It doesn't matter. I guess the point that I'm trying to make is you really do wonder what South Dakota State is if COVID never happens. As far as, do they have both their titles? Do they, you know, because somebody was in the group chat and it was like, wow, SDSU and NDSU, 12 of the last 14 titles. I was like, well, NDSU and the Concordia Cobbers have 10 of the last 14 titles. Like, one team is doing a lot more lifting in this conversation than the other. But sure, if you want to put that graphic up, you can. You have to wonder. And honestly, this is sort of the point that I wanted to make, or my question moving forward, is the second best team in the FCS Montana, Montana State, UND, Tarleton? Is it South Dakota State? Is it Bison versus the field? Maybe a healthy South Dakota State is the best team, but the second best team, but they lost guys that weren't Chase Mason in this game, and I think there's some pretty negative prognosis on some of that. I don't know. This Tanner Castora guy put out something, and I haven't seen anything official, but he's just like, heard some bad news, or like there's going to be some long-term stuff coming out of this NDSU. I don't know if maybe Van Tol is long. I don't know. It doesn't matter ultimately, just because I don't think South Dakota State could beat NDSU in Fargo, which is what would have to happen after losing that game at full strength, at not full strength, whatever.
I mean, nobody's winning. Just honestly, nobody's winning in Fargo.
I think you're right. And it really is interesting, you know, who is the second best team, because I think South Dakota State, and they should get some credit for going out and beating Montana State in overtime at Montana State. That's a tough place to play. It's an impressive win. It's as impressive as any win that NDSU has, other than bludgeoning South Dakota State to death in Brookings. But this, when I talk about hindsight and I talk about going back and really thinking about what should have been the expectation going into this game, maybe not 38-7. You can give South Dakota State two touchdowns of Chase Mason plays, call it 38-21. That's fine. I don't think Chase Mason's worth 14 points, but call it 38-21. Keep in mind, NDSU is, like, I think scored 38 with 12 minutes left in the fourth quarter and was kneeling in South Dakota State. If NDSU wanted to name a number in that game, they could have named a number.
Well, right, it was 31 in the first half.
Right. Anyway, this sort of should have been the expectation, in the sense that Jimmy Rogers violated this program on the way out.
Yeah, he took 30 dudes with him.
So you have an NDSU team, and yes, Cam Miller's an awesome player. I get that. The Mostarts are really, really good football players. You lose a Cody Heisman to the portal. You lose a Marty Brown. You have some losses. I get that. But you beat South Dakota State twice last year and really put it on Montana State in the title game. I know it got a little hairy sort of late, but that game was not as close as the scoreboard. Why would it make sense that a South Dakota State team who lost NDSU twice last year, then loses a bunch of starters, then portals a bunch of kids in, that don't beat out the backups from last year? Of course there's player development. Of course there is. Guys get better. But almost none of the guys that portaled in for South Dakota State beat out the incumbents for jobs. So why would you believe that basically last year's NDSU team would not smoke South Dakota State's backups from last year? Unless you have the greatest player development system in the world, which South Dakota State does not have. And it would have been hard to have with so much staff going with Jimmy to Washington State.
Yeah, I mean, what transfers are there? Is he like the Loffridge kid?
Loffridge plays,
okay, and I've
obviously
already spoken my mind on him.
Right.
One defensive player, one corner maybe.
Right, but yeah.
Number zero, I think, is a D2 transfer.
Okay.
So,
like, again, all the line is, like, obviously Quinn Christensen's been there a long time. Sam Hagen's been there a long time. All three linebackers were just the backups from last year.
Yeah.
Obviously Kobe.
Well, he is a transfer, but he was there last year. So
I count him as an incumbent, obviously, as should you. But yeah.
But NDSU's development, we know about that. The Kramer effect, the Ryan Appley effect.
Right.
And just the overall Bison tax, like, that sounds a little arrogant, but, like, just, it is what it is. I mean, like, you got a back, your quarterback sat for 4 years and is going to win the Walter Payton Award.
Right. He's easy with that. Never overestimate.
Should.
Never overestimate the FCS voters.
True.
NDSU's closest game has been 17 points. The backup quarterback has played in 7 of the last 8 games. The Bison are 30th in the Sagarin, which is ahead of every G6 team, and 36th in Bill Connolly's rankings. They're an extremely good football team. And that extremely good football team is going to play Youngstown State. Ryan Babbitts is not going to redshirt. He'll get reps at left tackle, which is fun, exciting, interesting. You know, we talked about offline Bo Johnson and just kind of his lean body type. Bo Johnson looks like an NFL tackle. I think someday Bo Johnson will be an NFL tackle. But when Ryan Babbitts plays, Bo Johnson plays guard. And there's nothing wrong with that. What is this all? Gray Mason. Oh, we're talking about true freshmen playing?
Yes.
Okay. Gray, Zabel, Mason, Miller in COVID times. Zach Johnson, a little bit at guard. Jesse Hines, a little bit at guard. He was an absolute just grinder. Billy Turner started 12 games in 2010. But the last one to do it at the tackle spot is Billy Turner. It's not something that happens a lot, especially when you're, you know, sending guys to the league. Like, you know, Joe Haig begets Dylan Radins, who begets Cordell Volson, who begets Cody Mauch. Like, there's a line. Oh, by the way, Cody Mauch begets Gray Zabel. Like, there is usually a lineage, and it doesn't seem to have stopped. But Babbitts is so darn talented that they're feeling a need to get him out there. It's 308 pounds. He's a big get out of Buffalo, Minnesota. Nebraska offer, K-State interest. I don't know why the Gophers didn't take him. I don't think that makes a ton of sense. He'll rotate with Tostead. As you mentioned here, that does kick Bo Johnson into guard. They like Tostead, but he's still 285. And, you know, get out the green and gold fund money because none of these guys are seniors.
Yeah. I mean, okay. Like, what did he say? Nate Tostead is the best. He thinks, you know.
One of the best prospects in their building.
And that's the thing. Yeah. It's like.
Blue chipper.
And if none of these guys are going to get their walking papers, a.k.a. a diploma, you know, and run out of eligibility, what, you know, you can develop and all those things, but who's stopping any of these guys from moving on? I mean, is that, I don't know if that's an irrational thought, but, I mean, like we have here, like you said, Bo Johnson is an NFL body type.
For sure.
Trent Fraley.
Yep.
Fraley?
Yeah.
is a dude.
Yep.
MP might be the best alignment they have at the current moment. So I don't know. And then you got a bunch of backups too who have some good stars behind them.
Right.
Who, you know, are still 18, 19 years old. So that'll be interesting. It's just crazy to me. You've had since Billy, every left tackle they've had since then is in the NFL or was in the NFL.
Right.
And there is a true freshman. A true freshman. I don't think some people realize how crazy that is. Or maybe I'm embellishing it, but like I just think
it's not
absolutely incredible.
Yep. You're absolutely right. EDN. Remind me what that means.
Eliminate distractions now.
Okay.
They say it every week.
Avoid the trap game. Yeah, I mean, it's obviously in between South Dakota State and North Dakota. That's important to note. Polisek, Parrott, and Craig Bowl talking about remember November. Should be a top two seed, even with a loss to UND. But first, you know, you got to beat Youngstown, 28.5-point favorite. Have not played the Penguins since 2022, just due to some scheduling stuff with the Valley. NDSU has won 11 straight times. But the Penguins are always frisky. Specifically in Ohio, this game is in Fargo. They're scoring 34.1 points per game. They're top 20 in most national offensive categories. 7th in turnover margin at +8. Bo Brungard, he's the team, man. Can throw and run, has 28 total touchdowns. Tim Polisek complimenting him very highly. Anytime you get a Jordan Lynch mentioned from TP, that means he has a tremendous amount of respect for you. No question about that. Leads the country in design yards by a quarterback. He's fourth in the entire FCS in rushing yards right now. Max Tomczak is really good. Experienced receiver, has 44 catches this year. There is no tailback run game. Jaden Gilbert has just 60 carries. The next closest has 14. So it's stopping QB run and shutting down a receiver, basically. This Flash Wilson, he has set at a 5.4 yard average depth of target.
Yeah, these are just straight.
So bubble screens. Bubble screens. Yeah, okay. So bubble screens. Got it. Yeah. Defend Tomczak. Defend the quarterback run game. I think that's kind of how you do it. And the other way that you do it is you put air back in the football, right? In the sense that not a good defensive unit. They're 66 in the FCS. They're giving up 28 in the game. Bison tax to tell you that's going to be at least 42. And that, right, allowing 32 points in the last six games. If the other team is scoring every time, you can't run QB run. But you get down 10, you get down 14, you get down 17. I shouldn't say can't. I should maybe say shouldn't.
Like, you don't want to hashtag establish it again?
I don't know if they're going to want to establish it. I think there's definitely a point where you do start to, throw it, want to throw it, despite what South Dakota State did a week ago. And ultimately, Youngstown needs this game or next week to get into the playoffs. They've made the playoffs four times in the last 25 years and once since 2016 when they made it to the a title game in 2023. Or what does this say?
Well, that title run where they lost to JMU.
I'm sorry. The 16 title game, 2023, this was written very confusingly.
I'm sorry.
2023 is the only time they've been to the playoffs since losing to JMU in 2016 in Frisco. Got it. Okay. I was trying to, the 2023 playoff game was, or title game was SDSU, NDSU. That was a terrible experience. I was blocking it out of my memory. Oh, shoot. Prediction time. I'll go NDSU 42, Youngstown 14. I think the player is good, right? And 14 is honestly giving a lot of respect considering what this Bison defense has done, what they just did to the, at the time, number two team in the country. Yeah, I think that's showing a lot of respect. They're not very good defensively, and NDSU scores a lot. So that's, I guess, where I get 42.
Yeah, this team, like I said, I mean, they're frisky. Like,
I'm not saying they're not, but I don't know. And I guess I wasn't thinking about it. I also just basically picked the game on the number.
No, that's, I guess, what I mean.
On accident. Yeah.
Mostly just, I just mean previous years. Like, my memories of these two teams playing each other are mostly Bo Pelini. Blowing about four gaskets in 4 seconds. And then I believe it was like one of the Easton years, game-winning field goal. Some, you know, all this stuff late night and Youngstown.
I was going to say, people are hard on Pelini because he yells a lot. They didn't get any better by firing him.
No.
And neither did Nebraska. You know what I mean? Whatever, it doesn't matter. I think his time in the sun is probably over just because he is such an angry human. But, yeah, he could coach football. That is for sure. Okay, your prediction.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. Like, if teams, only Illinois State's held them under 38 points, a defense that is, 66th in the country in scoring defense, like, they're just not holding them to any sort of, consistent punt.
Sure.
So I'm taking even a step further, give their offense a little bit, but 49-17, I've got them to cover even. So I think it's going to be that kind of day, and keep the ball rolling going up to the tin can the week after. So,
absolutely. All right. Thank you, Blake, for making the trip out here. Thank you all for listening. Thanks, of course, to Gateway Chevrolet for sponsoring the show. Have a great, safe Halloween weekend, and go Bison.